And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you so much for the tremendous music, and we would just rejoice in it. Open up your Bibles quickly, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. And we're not going to take an hour this morning, so don't worry, all right? I know we've got some food waiting for us. And so want to invite you, if you have not even signed up, there's going to be some extra bag lunches for you, $8. This is to help out with the missions trip, and we just trust you'll stop by there. You can eat your meal right there. You can take it home if you want to, but please remember that. If you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God, please. If you would follow with me as I read these first six verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that's everyone in this room. Let's pray. Fathers, we come to you now, and just a short challenge to our people, Lord. I pray that we would bask in the blessings of being justified by faith. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe there are five great truths in this particular portion of Scripture that focus our attention on the blessing of being justified. Simple definition is justification is an accounting term that simply means our sin account has been settled. It's been paid for completely by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, when I was 30 years of age, which is many, many moons, I planted a church in Lawrence, Kansas. And we had many wonderful experiences. One was we were a part of a new program that Bob Jones University started, a multi-grade program, basically one-room school. And during that time, we saw just a host of people saved, and there were some young couples who were gloriously saved, and we became friends. Our children were the same age. They went to grammar school together. And during that time, we had gone from starting the school in a farmhouse to our own facility, our own building. And it was common that our kids, even after school, if the Basils had something that they were doing, that we'd allow their kids to stay with us. And they just had a wonderful time and were some of the dearest friends to them. And so I remember one time that I was supposed to take the two boys home after they had played with us. We had made arrangements, and a number of times I'd drop them by the house. And what I'd do is I'd drop them off. They typically go into the garage and then go into the house through the door that was connected to the garage. And one day I dropped them off. All arrangements had been made. I'd done this a number of times. And they opened up the garage door. They shut the garage door. And my thinking was, this is just a typical thing. And they're just going to go, and they're going to go enter, as they usually do, into the home through the door that is attached to the garage, and everything is going to be fine. Well, what I didn't know is their emergence that had happened next door. And Cindy Basil was just aiding a family who had just lost a loved one just that day. And so it was kind of an extraordinary event, but all that to say this, the doors were locked. And this first grade boy couldn't get into the house. He didn't know where mom or dad was. And he began to become very frightened about that circumstance. And I just left off, went merrily on my way, thinking, well, I fulfilled my task, everything is done. But I received a phone call, and the parents, who were very dear friends to us, had said that their son was absolutely terrified, and that they had wished that I had stayed with the child to make sure the child was safely inside the house because of any given circumstance, rather than just heading out. And let me tell you something, there was an offense. Here's someone that we were extremely close to. And all of a sudden, an offense was established. And I, to be very frank, I thought that I had lost fellowship with this family. And I felt bad about nothing you do. And so what I did is I just got together with Wendell privately. And I said, Wendell, I cannot express to you how badly I feel about this situation. And I just want you to know that I take full responsibility, and I will make absolutely sure that that you are home if I ever drop your children off before I head out. And he came back to me a day later. Now, you don't know what is going to happen as far as a relationship is concerned, because people can get offended and they can hold offense against you for a long time. But he came to me a day later and said, Pastor, I just want you to know that I love you, and your attitude in handling this situation has made me love you even more, and I know that I don't have to worry about having you take my son home or my son's home ever again. Our relationship was fixed. That to me was one of the greatest joys, that there was no offense, there was peace between us. And as we start this verse out in verse 2, and by whom also we have access by faith into this peace, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so the peace that is mentioned in verse 1 has come about because God has forgiven our account, justification. And the joy of this relationship is twofold. Number one, peace with God brings us fellowship, friendship, and sonship. I love what the Word of God has to say about the special privilege we have through His Word in 1 Corinthians 1:9. Faithful is Him, faithful is God, by whom we have been called unto the fellowship of His Son through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there was a day when I received my Lord and Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, that there was a peace that I did not have before that time. Now listen, you can lose that peace somewhat. If you start sinning, you're not going to have the peace of God as far as in daily affairs, knowing that God may have to judge the sin in your life. But I am so glad that no matter what I do, I don't have to jump through hoops for God to forgive me. He's forgiven me. But if I want that relationship to be blessed, that means if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. And there has to be a daily accounting for sin so that that overwhelming peace, the peace that passes all understanding, keeps my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so the peace that we have restored is, the Word of God says that we at one time fell short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is God's state of sinlessness. God is sinless. And when man sinned, he lost the ability to have that precious fellowship with God. We became aliens, foreigners. And every man and every woman that is born into this world is born into a particular family. That is, you're not born into the family of God. I don't care if you have Christian parents or not, you're not born into a family of God. You're not born straddling a fence. I think Jesus Christ pointed out the fact you have your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, you'll obey. Now, none of us like to look at it, but fact of the matter is, you were born into the family of Satan when you came into this world because you're a sinner. But I'm so glad that through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, We have restored fellowship. We have restored friendship. And we have restored sonship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I'm so glad in John 15 that the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, I'm not calling you merely servants. But he says in John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. And I am so thankful that one day that the Lord Jesus Christ called me to sonship. And so the account was settled in full. I was justified by faith. And some said that the best, simplest definition is of justification is just as if I'd never sinned. But it's far more than that. Your sins were atoned for. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, you and I are still sinners. And we're still held in daily account for the sins we have. According to our obedience, God brings blessing into our lives. And so, the Word of God says that the first blessing of being justified by faith is having a peace relationship with God. The second thing is mentioned in verses 2 through 5, and I love this, and that is, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There are two things here, and that is, first of all, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and that is because of justification, the blessing of justification. Now what I have is I have a relationship with God, and in that relationship with God, I have certain promises that are guaranteed me. And I think one of the greatest promises is I don't have a fear of death. I've got this peace that God gives to my relationship, which has been healed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that peace, it's an abiding peace and an abiding hope. One day I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. All have fallen short of the glory of God, but there's restored glory from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is my righteousness. The Apostle Paul put it this way, that your faith should not stand in the righteousness of the law, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I am so glad that my hope, first of all, is a hope of restored relationship as far as friendship and fellowship and sonship. But then the Word of God goes on to say there is another type of glory, and that is the glory that God gets as a result of us going through some very difficult times. Not a man or woman in this room that hasn't gone through difficult circumstances. Jesus Christ said in this life, you shall have tribulation. And I, probably the roughest day of my life was the day that we lost our son, 38 years of age. And you have all these plans and all these things that you hope to see done, and then all of a sudden, it seems like some of those hopes are dashed. Different things that we go through would love to rob us of the joy and the strength that we have in the person of Christ. And we wonder many times, and I'm glad I know that my son is in glory today. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can't rob me of that hope. And you can't rob me of the hope that God is going to be with me in every circumstance as well in this life. If we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Our hope transcends this life, but it still sustains us in this life. The Word of God says, going on in verse 3, and we not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Not just do we glory in the fact that what we have waiting for us one day, but we glory in tribulation. We glory in the rough times of life. Why? Because God is in the process of building something that could never be built except through adversity and tribulation and difficulty. You don't go through tribulations and difficulty to cause you to quit. You go through the different challenges of life to make you a strong Christian, to mature you to a state that you can really exemplify the glory of God for resisting the temptation to quit or to give in to sin, but to keep on. Tribulation worketh patience. The ability to hold up under the pressures of life in every difficult circumstance. And the Word of God goes on to say, not only does tribulation work patience, but patience works experience. There have been things that I've gone through that I will never forget as long as I live. And I tell you why they're precious to me, even though there were difficult times, because I didn't think I was going to be able to make it through the storm. I didn't know how I was going to get by this challenge. And I was wavering. And sometimes I felt like quitting. But the fact of the matter is that it was at those times that I felt the supernatural abiding grace of God in giving me strength that I didn't have. And I made it through the storm. And when I was on the other side, you know, I said, well, you know, that wasn't so bad after all. And I tell you what happens is God gives you these experiences. Even though you may not go through an identical experience as far as a trial in your life is concerned, you know that the Lord has been with you through the valleys of life. And as you face the new challenges, you say to yourself, I've done it before with the strength of the Lord, and I can do it again. It works experience. And if nothing else, you and I need to know that God is faithful no matter what you go through. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience. And the Word of God says experience works hope. That is, now we go through a trial, and we may feel like it's impossible, may feel like it's in absolutely no way we're going to make it. And yet, and I think that this happens a lot of times through the prayers of God's people, sometimes through a text, sometimes through a card, as you get your eyes back on the Lord. You see, when your eyes are not upon the Lord, the problem's a lot bigger than you. But when you get your eyes on the Lord, your God is a lot bigger than your problem. Amen. A lot bigger than your difficulty. Amen. And so the second blessing is of being justified by faith is hope. Hope in the glory of God, and that is an abiding hope that one day we will be in heaven with our God, and which Christ has purchased, and that is that abiding, overwhelming peace that we have with God the Father through the sacrifice of Christ. And then we glory in tribulations, and probably one of the greatest examples or testimonies of glorying in times of tribulation is the Apostle Paul. And most of us, if not all of us in this room, know that second book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And we know this, that as we go through those things, God, when we're in a state of complete reliance upon Him, gives us the ability to see God do things that He could never do except through the valley of the shadow of death, except through adversity. And so the third thing is, the third blessing of being justified by faith is God's love. In Romans 5:5, the Word of God says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift we have in this life, apart from our salvation, is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is that He is guiding us in all truth. He is the great comforter who is with us in our adversity, pointing at us to the Lord, telling us that we can make it through whatever we're going through, telling us that God is going to work this situation out for His glory. And so we rejoice in the love of God, that God's love is outpoured to all humanity. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the love of God is poured out on all humanity. And by the way, his pouring forth, no man can receive. It's a flood tide. It's for every person who will receive it. And I thank God one day that I accepted that flood tide of his love that was poured forth to save Bill Eggerdahl, so that I might have forgiveness of sins and a new relationship with him, and I might have that joy and that hope and understand the outpouring of this love onto, in my life personally. And then in Romans 5:6-4, when we were without strength, without personal ability, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Man has no ability to save himself through money, through going and paying a portion of the debt through purgatory, and certainly not merely because of being born into a Christian family. Everyone needs to do the same exact thing, and that is we need to trust in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the strength that is for him to pay the debt in full that I owed and that you owe as well. And so when we were in a state of hopelessness, to pay the penalty for our sin, which is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And by the way, there's a diminishing of a hell today. And if there's no hell, there's no importance as far as Christ going to Calvary. He wrapped himself in human flesh and died on the cross for your sins, that you might spend eternity in heaven, that you might have a right relationship with God, so that you might be adopted into his family, so that you might be a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ as far as your inheritance is concerned. Amazingly, Christ died for the sins of all mankind in their lost, sinful condition, not because they were righteous or good, but aliens, enemies, strangers of the family of God. And so God's love is poured out to all humanity. The Holy Spirit delivered this message of love to every human heart. Christ paid the debt for our sins that we could not pay, and Christ paid the debt for our sins forever. We'll never be held accountable for those sins because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Reconciled by the death of Christ. Had he not shed his blood as an atonement for our sins, we'd all die in our sins without hope. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The guarantee of eternal life. And the last point in this particular chapter is the fourth blessing of being justified by faith is joy. Romans 5:11 says, and not so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The joy of being our sins being atoned for. The joy of justification of life, 5:18. The joy of abounding grace and conquering sin, Romans 5:20-21. There are many things that would rob us of our joy. Rob us of our peace, rob us of our hope. But I'm so thankful that as you and I are in the Word of God, and God reveals himself through his Word, which is divine, that all of those elements, the hope, the joy, the love, just is poured forth in the Word of God. And I think this, I think that if you and I think that we're giving true worship to God and living the life we want to live and doing what we want to do, then you're completely wrong. I was reading an article this past week, and it talked about all individuals as far as this generation was concerned, the most recent report. And it said that 86% of young people having graduated from high school are no longer attending church. It says 68% of the people living in America have never, ever been to Sunday school or to church. And just recently, one of the BIMI church planners came across a home and presented the gospel. And this couple received the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the church planner was finished in presenting the gospel, and he ended the conversation by saying, "You know, I bet you probably heard this before." And the couple, in their mid-20s, said, "We have never, ever, ever heard the gospel presented to us and how we could get saved and go to heaven." And so we're living in that generation, and I think that all of us that have been going on visitation, we've run into those people as well. Never, ever, ever heard the gospel in the United States of America. Let me tell you something. We as believers have got to realize we're living in a world that needs the light and needs the gospel, probably more now than any time in my lifetime. And how shall they hear unless they have a preacher? And how are they going to have a preacher unless someone is sent? And I pray that our heart's desire would be that we would be the ones who would be sent, and that we would be the ones that would share the gospel. I'm going to conclude by just simply giving you men a challenge. You know that sometimes of the easiest place to be carnal is in a Christian college, especially when you get up in your junior and senior years. And that is what happens. You're so buried in the academics, and you're so buried in the responsibilities that you have on campus and what your life is all about. You're thinking, some of you are thinking about marriage, some of you are thinking about graduate school, some are thinking about the job you're going to get. And all of these things begin to consume you. And so you just think everything is all right because you're in a safe environment. Let me tell you something. That is the most dangerous position you can be in, because it's hard to keep fresh in that type of an environment. A lot of times, some of those, and I'm not saying this, I'm not saying that a person should go off to a state college. I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, that is a danger to many individuals. But if you think you're safe in a Christian college, you probably know that a lot better right now. It's easy to slip into a carnal state. And even individuals in the ministry, they have an easy tendency to slip into a state of carnality. And what's going to keep you fresh is your determination. You're going to have a relationship with God, not because of any teacher you have, not because of any parent that you have, not because of someone you're dating is spiritually minded, and what they're doing is they're the ones that is motivating you. But you better be motivated yourself. And this motivation comes because you love Christ and you love His Word. And what you do is you have devotions. And I say this, if there's one thing, years ago, Dr. Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. was my pastor in Chicago, Illinois. And he said, "You know something? The Word of God says, when I come, shall I find faith on earth?" And he said, "I can't help but to think that that time is the time where there's no individual that is concerned about any lost soul. That will be the time when the Lord says, everyone that is in, it is going to get in. Everyone that's going to get in is in, because no one is concerned about a soul." And I simply ask you this: what are your concern over the souls of lost people? And what happens? We're content and we're satisfied in the Christian life. But I want you to know the only way you're going to keep fresh is having a passion for the Word of God, and it swells up and burns in your heart. So you have to be in the Word at all times. You're not just getting a degree, but you have a growing relationship and a maturing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, God help your generation. God help you. Because you better let the light shine. You better let the salt being spread so that you have some hope. If you have kids one day, there'll be some semblance of faith and hope and joy and peace through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. The most important question I'd get asked today, the most important, is if you were to die today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? And these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not because you're good. It's not because your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. It's because you have a relationship with God through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And how many could honestly say this? I know if anything were to happen to me this very moment, if I were to pass into eternity, I know that I'd go to heaven. And I can give you a scripture reason for that. Would you just raise your hand as a testimony? I know if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. Thank you very much. You can lower your hands. Is there anybody here today that would say this? I couldn't raise my hand because I don't have that assurance, or I know that I'm not saved. And if you would, please, as you conclude the service, would you pray for me? Would you pray that I would get saved, or I'd have the assurance of my salvation? Would you just raise your hand for a moment, and Lord, is there anyone? Just raise it just for a moment. Yes, one hand. Any others? Any others? Believer, being justified by faith is a glorious, glorious thing. We have this extraordinary peace, extraordinary hope, overflowing love, and joy unspeakable, full of glory. Those are all benefits of and blessings of being justified. And how many would say this? I'm abiding in that. I've got that peace. I've got that hope. I have and understand that love, and it drives my life. I have that joy. Or would you have to say, you know something, I know in my heart I need to get a lot closer to the Lord. And by uplifted hand, you'll say, pray for me. I know that I need to draw closer to the Lord. I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. Would you just raise your hand just for a moment in honesty? Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, yes. Everyone stand on your feet, if you would, please. 816, have thine own way, Lord. Dear one, you raise your hand, you say, either you don't have the assurance of your salvation, or you're not saved. And today could be the greatest day of your life. And I simply ask, you had the strength to raise your hand. And I just ask you this morning, would you come forward? We have men and women that are waiting to show you in the Word of God how you can be saved. We love you. We want to see you a part of the family of God, and we'd love to see you in heaven one day. But that is a decision you have to make. And sir, we're inviting you at this time to come forward and to receive Christ and as your personal Savior as we share the Scriptures with you. And then, believer, I tell you what, we had better get on fire. It's a terrible thing that most individuals, most teenagers, when they graduate from high school, will quit going to church, period. Something's wrong. And I tell you what the hope is. The hope is found in the Word of God, in us getting out the Word and praying a lot more than what we're praying. And so maybe this morning, if the Lord is dealing with your heart and there's some things that need to be settled, those things could be settled today. As you got alone with the Lord. As we sing this invitation, no matter what the need is, we wait and we're ready to deal with the situation. Would you come as we sing?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the power.